are growing, but there is only one platform.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, and it's Friday. And it's Friday before a long holiday weekend, which makes it even better. And yes, I think I'm going to take the day off on Monday, believe it or not. I know I don't often do that. It's not like I'm going anywhere, but I need it. You know, for 4 years, I had been just doing 4 days a week, and now I've expanded to five, and I need a little break because I'm overdoing it as usual. And in fact, been filling in for Brad Friedman over at the Bradcast last night and again tonight. So Monday, what we'll do is I will put a best of together, and actually maybe we'll make it a Monday music show, and I'll use one of my old, you know, music radio interviews. So it'll be a musical treat of some sort on Monday. So there will be no video offering on Monday, but we'll be back as usual on Tuesday. Anyway, it's Friday. We're here live. I guess everybody else is taking the day off. But we're here, and Digby will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And that's a good thing, because frankly, there's a lot to talk about. What a crazy, crazy day. So the story broke last night in the Atlantic that... Donald Trump has been bad-mouthing the military, and not just that. I mean, we knew how he felt, right? We knew how he felt about John McCain. That was no secret, though now he's denying that he ever said those things about John McCain. We heard him loud and clear. The video exists, yet he still is insisting he never said it. That should give Trumpers a little bit of information that they need to realize that this man is a pathological liar. He wouldn't know the truth if it hit him over the head. That's the sad thing about people like Trump, who I believe is a sociopath, is that they believe their lies. They've told them so many times that they actually... you know, believe that they're true. I really think he believes his bullshit. Doesn't make it any better, because a bullshitter is a bullshitter is a bullshitter. And that is, you know, Donald Trump. I mean, welcome to his world, right? There's a lot of that, a lot of stuff to get to today. In fact, we got a lot of news to get to. We got Digby coming up. How about if we start with something fun? Because I don't know about you, but I could use it. So, it seems everyone's on vacation. There's not a whole lot of comedy bits that I was able to dig up today. So I have one that I've been sitting on for a while. So it's probably a few weeks old, but it works. And I don't even remember who put this together. And it's not much of a video. I mean, they just put it looks like a phone screen with the lyrics on it. But I will post it on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com, where I post the podcast. So today's will be under NicoleSandler.com/9-4-20, because that's today's date. And without waiting any further, here is the protest prison blues. It's the Nicole Sandler Show.
One, two, three. I hear the vans are coming. They're rolling into town. They're here to stop the sand out and keep the people down. Well, I'm stuck in protest prison, and Trump is all to blame. 'Cause his fascist pigs are marching. He thinks it's all a game. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, the government is helpful, they work for everyone. But then Donald Trump took office, and things have gone to hell. Now there's peaceful people sitting inside a prison cell. Sitting in a fancy office chair, I'm mouthing off on Twitter about his critics being unfair. I tell you what's unfair, Don, the way you treat the poor.
Oh yeah, and veterans too.
And the tired, angry people who won't take your shit anymore.
Woohoo!
If we finally did our duty and voted out the con, we'd stop this damn corruption and say goodbye to Don. We'd tear down protest prison and join in on the fight to stomp out white supremacy and finally make things right.
Another guitar solo. Bow, bow. Okay, hey, it was a musical interlude there at the end. There you go. protest prison. I guess that beats protest morgue, right? But still not good enough. We need to fix that. All right. I told you Digby's coming up at the bottom of the hour. How about we get to some news? Because, oh boy, there's a lot of it happening. Here we go.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
Oh boy. I guess we start with this.
I don't like losers.
Yeah. We heard that, Donald Trump. You don't like losers. I guess you don't look in the mirror very often. That was Donald Trump from back in 2015, referencing his disdain for Senator John McCain, who's considered a hero because of his time as a POW in Vietnam, and most notably, his decision not to go home when his captors offered to release him, and he wouldn't leave unless the other prisoners were also released. That makes him a hero. And in conversation with Frank Luntz, then candidate Trump made his beliefs very clear.
So he insulted me and he insulted everybody in that room. And I said, somebody should run against John McCain, who has been, you know, in my opinion, not so hot. And I supported him for president. I raised $1 million for him. It's a lot of money. I supported him. He lost. He let us down. But, you know, he lost. So I never liked him as much after that, because I don't like losers.
Yeah.
But Frank, let me get
hero.
To it.
He's
hit me.
Hero.
He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war
Five
hero.
And a half years
He's
in the
a
PNW
war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
He's a war hero because he was captured.
Okay. So we all heard that, right? That happened in 2015. It was, there's video of it. I didn't play the video, but that there is video of that. And Donald Trump today is saying he never said it. You see, this is gaslighting. You know he said it. We heard him say it. And he'll look you straight in the eye and say, I never said that. People, I would love to do a show. I'll tell you what, if you're a Donald Trump supporter, please call me, 954-889-6410. 954-889-6410. Only call if you're a Donald Trump supporter. I really want to talk to somebody who supports this guy because I got a few questions for you. I don't think there are many Donald Trump supporters, honestly, listening to this program, but if you are, call in because we need to talk. Anyway, until someone calls, and they won't, let me continue. That wasn't the only time Donald Trump said it. Sources say privately that Donald Trump continues this theme, saying that military personnel captured or killed in battle are losers and suckers. This revelation came barreling into the lead news stories across the nation last night as Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic dropped this blockbuster story about Trump's disdain for anyone who gets injured or killed or even enlists in the military. Wow. Now, Trump says he's ready to swear on whatever, that he never called slain American service members losers or dissed Senator John McCain. He's ready to swear on whatever. But last night, you know, he was getting to him because he was all over the Twitter machine. Okay. Now, this is not a Trump supporter. It's my husband calling. Hey, what's up? Hello.
Hi, my name's Cletus. I'm a Donald Trump supporter calling you from bumfuck Tennessee.
Yeah, okay.
I love me some Donald Trump because he hates the same people that I hate. Them immigrants and those backward black people, they should be fortunate. They should count themselves fortunate to just be allowed to be in this here country. I want you to know that I stopped fucking my cousin and put in my teeth just to be able to make this call because I heard you over the radio that my liberal pinko commie listens to next door to my trailer.
Are you sure you're not Pat from Albuquerque, New Mexico?
I don't know, Pat, but if he supports this great president of ours,
yeah,
and the industry that he has built for this great country, yeah, then he must be one fine American.
Yeah, fine American. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Sounds
so
good.
You quit being so hard on our great president, and you get yourself ready for President Ivanka.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Thank you, sir. Talk to you later.
You have a good day, ma'am.
You too. Thank you. I didn't know he could do a Southern accent. A redneck accent, that would be. Southerners are not all bad. Just the ones like Cletus McFuckface. Anyway, so Donald Trump says he's ready to swear on whatever that he never called slain American service members losers or dissed John McCain. But last night he was all over the Twitter, going nuts over this Atlantic story. And one of his tweets said, also, I never called John a loser and swear on whatever or whoever I was asked to swear on that I never called our great fallen soldiers anything other than heroes. He put that in writing. Trump has, in fact, in the past described McCain as a loser, even tweeted out a quote of himself issuing the insult in 2015, along with an article about his comments. So obviously he was proud of them back then. At that time, he also called McCain a dummy and insisted he could not be considered a war hero because he was captured. In one anecdote, confirmed by, we're told, at least five people, Trump canceled a planned trip to pay respects to U.S. World War I dead at this cemetery outside of Paris because he said it's filled with losers and suckers. And on a 2017 Memorial Day visit to Arlington National Cemetery with then Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly, Trump reportedly turned to Kelly at the gravesite of his son, who was killed in action, Lieutenant Robert Kelly. Trump looked at John Kelly and said, "I don't get it. What was in it for them?" You know, I got to tell you, Joe Biden held a press conference today, and he was really good. You know what was so good about him? He's a human being. He showed humanity. So I've got a bunch of the questions and answers pulled aside. But, you know, for this, for our purposes here in our What's News segment, I thought I'd play for you a mashup of some of his, Joe Biden's statements and answers to the questions from this press conference.
If what is written in The Atlantic is true, it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It affirms what most of us believe to be true. That Donald Trump is not fit to do the job of president, to be the commander in chief.
That's true.
If these statements are true, the president should humbly apologize
humbly?
To every Gold Star mother and father and every Blue Star family that he's denigrated and insulted. Who the heck does he think he is?
Who the heck?
Is it true? We've heard from his own mouth his characterizations of an American hero, John McCain, as a loser in 2015. Donald Trump said he was not a war hero. I like people who weren't captured.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. And his dismissal of the traumatic brain injury suffered by troops serving in Iraq
yep.
as mere headaches.
He said that.
If it's true, and based on other things he said, I believe the article is true. I'd ask you all the rhetorical question. How do you feel? How would you feel if you had a kid in Afghanistan right now?
Yeah, good question.
How would you feel if you lost a son, daughter, husband, wife? How would you feel, for real? It's deplorable. Anybody found that plane? What in God's name are we doing? Look at how it makes us look around the world. It's mortifying. It's embarrassing. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. If the president doesn't know better, he has to know better. My Lord, we're in much more trouble than I ever thought we were.
You think?
It's bizarre. I believe any country that engages in any activity to delegitimize or impact on American elections is a direct violation of our sovereignty. And if I'm president of the United States, there will be a response. How many times does this president have to suggest things and say things? Well, you all don't just write, he's a fraud.
Yeah. Why don't they? I would love to see a one journalist write, he's a fraud. Because he is. Wow. I was very impressed with Joe Biden. He held his own. He was human. He showed, you know, not weakness, but he showed, what's the word? Empathy, something that Donald Trump doesn't have. When he talked about, he didn't bring his son's medal, Beau's medal, because he was afraid he might say something that, would bring him down to Trump's level in language that is not, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, befitting of a president, as it were. I was very impressed. He took questions. He took a lot of questions. He spoke for quite a while and, you know, showed he was human. And guess what? He didn't appear to be lying. What a concept. In other news, not that there's, you know, that is what's happening. The military is, for good reason, freaking out. Donald Trump is, for good reason, freaking out because the curtain has been pulled aside from the man behind it. And again, this is why I want to talk to a Trumper to see, do you still believe his bullshit? Or do you get that he lies every time he opens his mouth? I'll keep working on that. Okay, in other news, law enforcement officers yesterday fatally shot the guy who they say killed one of the Trump supporters who was clashing with the anti-racism protesters in Portland, Oregon over the weekend. The guy's name, who was shot dead by police yesterday, is Michael Forrest Reinel, who apparently did an interview with Vice Television that they published last night, in which he kind of admitted to shooting this guy. Well, here's what he said.
I had no choice. I mean, I had a choice. I could have sat there and watched them kill a friend of mine of color.
So he's basically saying his friend of color, this guy was going to kill him. I had no choice. So where are all the cries of self-defense from Michael Forrest Reinl? Just a question. Anyway, Joe Biden yesterday quietly visited Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he met with the family of Jacob Blake. Blake, of course, is the unarmed black man who was shot 7 times in the back by police and left partially paralyzed. Biden addressed the civil unrest that broke out after the shooting. He promised there would be a police reform commission. He said Trump has been legitimizing a dark side of human nature instead of addressing the underlying racism that divides the country. Meanwhile, Bill Barr, by the way, is the Attorney General of the United States. And he actually went on CNN and proclaimed that that Mr. Blake, Jacob Blake, was 1, committing a felony, and 2, in possession of a weapon when the police shot him 7 times in the back. Really? First of all, whatever happened to "we don't comment on an ongoing case"? Which is what a responsible attorney general would say. You know what he just did? He poisoned any jury pool that might be out there. And he said something that appears not to be true. So I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when you're Donald Trump's Roy Cohn. Now, yesterday, I also told you about new revelations out of Rochester, New York, about the suffocation death of yet another unarmed black man at the hands of police. The family Daniel Prude, finally got hold of the body cam recordings, and they released them yesterday. And this morning, the mayor of Rochester suspended 7 cops over the suffocation death of this man who was naked and handcuffed. Body camera video showed Mr. Prude with a white spit hood over his head, placed there allegedly to protect officers from bodily fluids. Mr. Prude had traveled to Rochester from Chicago to visit his brother, but he died a few days later in the hospital. His family yesterday, again, released that body cam video. This is from March. And the video shows one officer with his hands on Prude's head, another with a knee on his back, while Daniel Prude shouted, "You're trying to kill me." His brother, Joe Prude, said that Daniel was mentally ill and that he had actually called the police that night to get help, quote, "not for my brother to get lynched." This is an epidemic, despite what Bill Barr said. It is an epidemic of police violence against mostly unarmed black men. And there's something seriously wrong there. All right. Let's see what else I want to tell you about. I can't get to all the news because we're going to run out of time. So I'm looking for stories that I do want to tell you about. Oh, guess what Donald Trump did? Wait, I even have a little musical intro. If I can hit it.
I did it again.
Yeah. You know what he did again? He said to vote twice. He did. So last night, Donald Trump was in Pennsylvania, where he did a rally in an airport hangar. And once again, he told the gathered sycophants to, vote twice.
Sign your mail-in ballot, okay? You sign it and send it in, and then you have to follow it. And if on election day or early voting that is not tabulated and counted, you go vote. And then if for some reason after that, it shouldn't take that long, it comes in, they're not going to be able to tabulate it because you will have voted. But you have to make sure your vote counts, because the only way they're going to beat us is by doing that kind of stuff.
This is classic projection, because the only way he's going to win is by cheating. and all he knows how to do is cheat. Yeah. This, sending this out to our friends on the West Coast, where there's a heat wave going on, and it's not like a fun summer heat wave. California is bracing for another blast of extreme heat beginning today that could make work harder for the firefighters. This after they made progress toward containing the second and third largest wildfires in the state's history. But as we speak, much of California, Arizona, and Nevada are under extreme heat watches and warnings expected to last through Sunday. The National Weather Service in Los Angeles warned that the conditions could cause deadly heat illness and increase the likelihood of more large wildfires. Unbelievable. Temperatures are forecast to come near or exceed the hottest ever recorded for these dates, with widespread highs up to 115 degrees. Oh, my goodness. The Weather Service saying that the conditions will make Sunday one of the most hazardous days in recent memory. The news just, it goes from bad to worse.
Don't let us get sick. Don't let us get old.
Yeah, and hopefully you're staying safe from the COVID, where there's a new model that was released here in the U.S., and it says we will see 410,000 COVID-19 deaths by January. January, less than a year after the coronavirus, you know, made landfall here in the United States. Now, a lot can happen before then, but experts are not confident we'll have a vaccine ready by Election Day, something that Trump has repeatedly been pressuring the FDA to do, to furnish a vaccine by Election Day. But doctors say even a highly effective vaccine, one that could blow through the clinical trials, probably would not be available until December at the earliest. And around the world, Brazil has now surpassed more than 4 million coronavirus cases. New Zealand, where they were, you know, they had bragging rights because they had eradicated the coronavirus from their shores. Well, they just unfortunately suffered their first death of the coronavirus, of COVID-19 in New Zealand, in more than 3 months.
The Nicole Sandler Show.
The Nicole Sandler Show.
On the Progressive Voices Network.
See, I did that on the sly. I let Progressive Voices go to a break, and then I brought them back. Okay, I'm working on it. Working on it. Let's see if there's one other story that I can tell you about. I don't even know. Do I have the? Let's see. I'm going to play for you one of the questions and answers from Joe Biden's presser today, because it really was good. So let's see. He was asked. Well, this is a good one. He was asked about QAnon. How do you deal with QAnon, Joe Biden?
What would you say to the supporters of the QAnon, the people who believe in that conspiracy, what they think is true about America, that there is sex trafficking and a conspiracy against the President Trump? And what would you say to President Trump for not rejecting that conspiracy and the people who believe in it?
I've been a big supporter of mental health. I'd recommend the people who believe
maybe mental health care
take advantage while it still exists in the Affordable Care Act. It's bizarre.
It is
totally bizarre.
Yeah.
And now, have you guys found that plane load of people in uniforms and weapons and flying around? I mean, you know, have you found them yet?
No.
Is anybody even from, now, by the way, I respect conservative and liberal points of view in the press. Anybody found that plane?
No.
What in God's name are we doing? Look at how it makes us look around the world. It's mortifying. It's embarrassing. And it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
It is.
If the president doesn't know better, which he has to know better, then my Lord, we're in much more trouble than I ever thought we were. It's bizarre.
It's bizarre. How bizarre? I should have pulled that song by OMD. All right. Let's not wait any longer. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to talk to Digby. So while I get her on the phone, oh, I need to do it this way, right? Think this way. Let's do this.
What's that, Leonardo? Who's Nicole Sandler's next guest? Why, it's Digby, of course. Who's Digby? Observe, Leonardo. That's dig for dig and B for B. Digby.
Digby, of course. Oops, I need to get the sound working there because I have no sound on Digby's shot. Digby is, hold on one second, Digby. I got to get your sound up. Sorry, everyone watching on video. Here we go. Now we have sound. Digby, of course, is one of the original progressive bloggers from the old school blogosphere who also writes regularly at salon.com. Heather Digby Parton is with us. How are you holding up, Digby? It seems like every time we talk, things get even weirder.
I'm holding up fine. Just, still kind of barricaded in my bunker here in Santa Monica, waiting for the storm to pass and observing everything on a screen somewhere. But yeah, I'm doing fine, and you're absolutely right. Things just get weirder and weirder. And of course, I think we knew that was going to happen as we got closer to the election. So I can't say I'm terribly surprised by it.
No, but did you expect the bombshell last night from the Atlantic? I mean, I look, there's so much that's just teetering on the edge. There are so many things in the house of cards that is the world of Donald J. Trump that could come crumbling down. But this, allegations that he's been dissing the military, that he, some of the stuff, some of the accusations in this Atlantic article are astounding.
They are, and they've been corroborated. And in fact, just within the last hour, Fox News corroborated it.
Really?
Can you believe that? Yes.
That's interesting.
And now it hasn't shown yet on the broadcast, but their two top White House reporters have corroborated the story. So it's true. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. And I mean, I didn't doubt it from the minute I read it, when I read it last night. This is how Trump talks. I mean, he suckers and losers. That's totally the way he talks. And, of course, remembering that, when he originally dissed John McCain back in 2015, he called him a loser.
Yep.
I mean, this was right out there in public. And by the way, I mean, this is the part that gets me, and maybe you can help me figure out what this means. I mean, that was in 2016 or 2015.
When he said
it. 60 million plus people still voted for him.
I don't get it.
Even though he said that.
I don't get it. That's why I said, look, people are on vacation already. They're taking off for the weekend. But I said, after this, I really want to talk to a Trump supporter. I want to talk to someone who can explain to me why they would support this man, especially after these revelations.
Exactly. Well, I mean, at the moment, the White House, apparently this really did strike a nerve. And you can tell that it goes a little bit deeper. Now, this is on the heels of an earlier poll that came out. I think it was this week. It might have been the week before, that he's losing the support of the military just from the polling that they were done of actual military members. He had been way ahead with them throughout, but in the last polling that, and I think it was Stars and Stripes that did it, maybe it was Military Times, but it was one of the military papers that did the poll, that he was way down with military members. So they're nervous about this. Obviously, they were already nervous about it, and then this comes out. And of course, it's one of those things where any other person, any other president or any politician who was quoted saying this stuff, you'd come out and go, come on, that doesn't sound like them. But this sounds exactly like Trump.
Exactly, because we've heard it before. Without a doubt. Something else interesting happened. You brought up Stars and Stripes. Well, Trump had decided, I don't know how long ago, that they in 2021 they were going to cut funding for Stars and Stripes. And earlier today, the Pentagon made an announcement that they're totally shuttering it. All of a sudden, Donald Trump says, oh, no, I've reversed that because of the outcry, not only for this, but that was just to, pour salt on the wound. Really? After you diss us like this, now you're going to cut off funding for our news newspaper of the military? And so he changed course on that.
Absolutely, he did, and we know that's why he did it, because that had been in their budget this year. That was the Trump budget that did that. And they were mad at Stars and Stripes and have been for a while, because they actually publish, you know, critical stories, critical op-eds, you know, things. It's a newspaper. It's a real newspaper that publishes the news.
That's right.
And he didn't like that. And so, he, you know, this was one newspaper he could shut down. But, of course, this happening today, and I guess coincidentally, the Pentagon, you know, saying, and they were going to shutter it like in a week or something. I mean, it was just happening instantly, and he reversed it. Now, you just watch. At his next super spreader rally, he's going to be out there taking credit for saving Star Wars.
Oh, of course he will.
Because he loves the military so much.
So much. There was a tidbit that I somehow missed in that article last night that I just now read about what he said about he doesn't understand why the military, why we spend so much time and effort and energy and money trying to get soldiers who are missing in action, trying to recover them. Because he told senior advisors, those soldiers had performed poorly, gotten caught, and therefore deserved what they got.
I absolutely believe he has said that because he said that about John McCain in that comment that he made in 2015. He said, he didn't just say, you know, I like people who don't get caught, okay? You know, I don't like, who don't get captured, okay?
Yeah.
But he went on to say, they lost it for us. He lost it for us, meaning he lost the war for us. He's a loser. That idea that people who get, I'm assuming, you know, most of these people that are missing in action were shot down from airplanes,
right?
I mean, that's how they got, became missing in action. And so he really believes that getting shot down is an act of cowardice or something, that somehow it's a betrayal or at least a sign of heroic ineptitude, and that they don't deserve, you know, nobody deserves to know what happened to them. And he kind of blames them for losing the war. And in fact, he seems to almost kind of blame them for even when the U.S. has won the war. I mean, the stuff he was saying about the Marines in France and World War II and World War I, which he apparently didn't even know whose side the U.S. was on.
He didn't.
I mean, this is just crazy.
It is insane. The more, you know, as the TV thing goes, the more you know. The question is, why did all these people, the four who were cited in the Atlantic article, anonymously, of course, and those who have now confirmed the story to pretty much every news organization out there, I understand, I guess, why they keep quiet, because look what happened to Alexander Vindman, the one military guy who did blow a whistle, and look at the revenge taken on this poor man. So I guess I understand why a career military person wouldn't want to blow the whistle for their own personal survival in terms of career. But in terms of the nation, how could someone sit on this for this long?
It's really hard to imagine. And, you know, I agree with you. You know, I get it that an active duty person, and there's a lot of rules and regulations about getting involved in politics and doing all that. You know, I can see why they would be reluctant to go on the record. But there's no reason that John Kelly and Jim Mattis, you know, the two generals who served in or McMaster or any of the other former military people who were obviously some of the sourcing on this. I don't think there's any doubt that John Kelly is the source on this story. And there's no reason that he cannot come forward and say this on the record. I mean, yes, he will get a boatload of trouble from the right if he does it. But come on. I mean, this is, and the thing is that, you know, some of the reporting, the stuff that Trump said to him, you know, about his own son, I don't get it.
And
what's
he wouldn't,
for him? I mean, that's grotesque.
Believe it's sickening. It is stomach churning. Yet John Kelly would not comment for that article, or apparently, I'm sure lots of news organizations have reached out to him to try to get his response. And he's not commenting. Why? What is he, to paraphrase, what has he got to lose at this point?
Well, that's what I don't understand. I mean, you know, there's this idea that people who are in the administration, they don't want to do it because they're all that's standing between, you know,
nonsense.
And, you know, Trump and disaster. Okay, whatever. That's absurd. But all right, that's at least a rationale. John Kelly isn't in the government anymore. He's not in the administration. He's not in the military. I don't understand why he won't do it. He's clearly one of the people who is confirming this story. I don't think there's any doubt that, I mean, he's doing it anonymously on background.
Yeah.
But it's obvious, and I think Mattis is too. I mean, these were, you know, these were high-level people. It's the kind of thing that you know, you can expect. And I don't know who else. There are other sources too, people that, you know, senior administration officials, and some of them are former administration officials. So they, too, need to, you know, step up and put a name to it. It's time. You know, other people are, like this guy Miles Taylor and what's the woman, Elizabeth Newman, both the DHS, former DHS employees, very high-level people, have come forward. They've gone on the record. They've put their names out there. They've endorsed Joe Biden. They've said what they know. And, you know, I get it. You know, they're both Republicans. They're not people that I would normally have any particular affinity for, and I'm sure we disagree on politics. But I admire them for you know, stepping up at this moment and saying, look, this is what I know, and I'm telling you, this guy is beyond the pale, and people like me, like I think Newman, she announces herself, she goes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. She's a religious right person, and she voted for Trump on the abortion issue, and yet she comes out and says, look, he is not pro-life. I saw what he did with those children and the family separations. I mean, and she's been quizzed pretty hard on why she did it, and she said, you know, I wish I could take it back. I'm telling you, I didn't pay close enough attention. I wasn't being, you know, a responsible citizen. I mean, she copped to her own mistake.
Wow.
And you know, look, we probably will not agree going forward once this is all over with. But these people, you know, we need to see more of this. I guess that's what I'm saying. And
we
need to see it from these high-level people like James Mattis. And, you know, I don't know if it'll make a difference. I mean, Trump's cult is so brainwashed at this point. I don't think they'll believe anything but it might solidify some of the people who are not part of his hardcore base, you know, the indies and the suburban Republicans and, you know,
the housewives.
Some of those people.
Yes. No, I have to think that this, you know, military families who, for whatever reason, were supporting him, this had to be like a knife to the gut. A punch in the stomach. This can't sit well with most of them. Obviously, there are those who drank the Kool-Aid and nothing is going to change their mind. But for a lot of people, I have a feeling it was a turning point. I think we're going to see some shifts in the polling. The military, which is, as you pointed out, Digby, was already moving away from him. So we'll see. So I know you saw Joe Biden's press conference today. He actually did a really good job, didn't he?
I thought so. I thought, you know, he was righteously upset.
Yep.
It's the kind of thing that would upset him. I mean, this is a guy who at the end of every single speech he gives says, and God bless our troops, right?
Yep.
I mean, he has a strong commitment to the troops, I think. And I think that this was very offensive to him. And I also thought, just to give him a little credit, I mean, you know, look, you and I both know that we're not big Joe Biden fans, generally speaking.
That's right.
However, he, as a politician, you know, just sort of trying to observe him as you know, fairly as I can going forward here, I believe that, you know, probably it was a great idea, great that he ended up not sort of extending himself much over the last few months. You know, he doesn't need to be out there campaigning at full bore at his age.
Nope.
But I do think that, you know, he is kind of hitting a stride, and they have very wisely deployed him, I guess that's what I should say, and he's deployed himself wisely. And today, when he came out, he gave this righteously indignant response to this story, and then he tied it, I thought, very deftly into Trump's lack of caring about all the people dying of COVID and his lack of responsibility in dealing with the economy. I mean, I thought that was pretty elegant sort of way of putting it. Look, this guy only cares about himself. That's what he kept saying. And, you know, that is reflected in this military story, in his response to the coronavirus, and the way he's ginning up this awful, you know, sort of, you know, what the right-wingers call a race war, and trying to get, you know, this, get the culture war going, and the fact that the economy is just, you know, it's a disaster for people are being evicted and, you know, all the rest of it. I thought Biden did a pretty good job with that, and
right.
It's not someone I would normally give credit to for doing for weaving together elegantly, a theme like that.
I agree.
I thought he did it well.
I agree. And of course, you know, Trump is still out there pushing these lies and nonsense. And to see Joe Biden, that's one thing about him. Love him or hate him or, you know, whatever. He does show empathy. I mean, there were a couple of times today I thought he was choking up. There's that human element that he has that Donald Trump does not possess. Donald Trump, I believe, is a sociopath and doesn't have empathy. He doesn't have that gene. So there's a big contrast there. But yeah, I don't often praise Joe Biden. And so today I am, because I thought he did exactly what he needed to do today. He showed that he's a human being and that, you know what? He does have a decent command of what's going on. He answered a lot of questions, and he did. He held his own. I thought he did very well. Now, there was another press conference today that I know you saw because I saw your tweets on it. I missed it, but I went back and watched some of it. Richard Grenell spoke. I guess that Donald Trump signed something having to do with Serbia and Kosovo today. First of all, do you know what that was about? Because I don't.
It was... It was nothing. I mean, basically what it was is, and in fact, supposedly this was a big, you know, rapprochement between Serbia and Kosovo, and you'd go, what? You know, what? Well, I mean, we all know, that's those of us who've been around a while know that story, you know, that the problems there go back a couple thousand years, okay?
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of one of those big, big problems. But apparently they had some agreements in the past that were not being fully implemented. So this agreement that they wouldn't sign it in each other's presence, and they wouldn't, you know, didn't want to touch the piece of paper or something that the other one had touched, but they agreed that they would start talking about maybe implementing previous agreements that they had. That seems to be the upshot.
Okay.
So, I mean, this was obviously just some, you know, one of Trump's many pageants where he could sit in the Oval Office and sign his Richter scale, you know, name onto something with a big Sharpie pen and the press would cover it, right? I mean, that's obviously what it was about. But it was Grenell who was the interesting person. I mean, he is, you know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, use the word Nazi, but he has a very Nazi-esque affect about him.
Oh, my God. I was stunned when I heard his answer to this one that you had commented on. So I went back and I pulled that clip to see what was so egregious about it. And I'm going to play it here because it is frightening. This is, well, let me just play it. So Richard Grenell is the ambassador to who?
Germany.
To Germany. Oh, my God. Duh. Right. That's right. So ambassador to Germany. And he gets up, I guess, and I don't know if it was at the State Department or at the White House. And the media is questioning him. And he started to scold them. Let me just play what happened.
Well, clearly, you were effective here as the special envoy to these talks between Serbia and Kosovo. But I wanted to ask you about another initiative you led last year. You kicked off the Trump administration push to decriminalize homosexuality.
Yeah, let me just talk about Kosovo and Serbia. I don't know if you can find it on a map, but this is atrocious. I have to tell you guys, might be too young.
So the reporter, who I believe is Jeff Mason, I think, from the Associated Press, he said, okay, I know you were the special envoy to Serbia and Kosovo, and as you said, Digby, it's really not a thing. So he questioned him, because he had the opportunity to question him, about you tried to push through legislation to outlaw homosexuality. And he shoots back by saying, I don't think you could even find Serbia or Kosovo on a map, and then he continues scolding him.
To understand what this issue is about, maybe the older journalists should step up and say, this is a big deal. This is a big issue. I'm astounded at what happens in Washington, D.C., and especially in this room. I got to tell you, get substantive. Maybe it's too complicated of an issue for you all.
Rick, respectfully, but, this is the first time we've had the opportunity to speak with these individuals.
Okay, but today's about Kosovo and Serbia. Let's take a little time and talk about this 21-year issue, Peter. I mean, 21-year issue, we're getting the same questions that are all politics. You guys don't understand what's happening outside of Washington, D.C. People aren't listening to you anymore. It's really a crisis in journalism. And I think it's because people are too young to understand issues like Kosovo and Serbia. Right. How about a substantive question?
I don't think any of us came here for a lecture about our questioning.
The question I would like to ask you is,
is it accurate to say that it's full economic normalization? There was some ambiguity as to whether that...
Oh, my God. So that happened. Wow.
Well, I mean, he was obviously performing for the boss, right? I mean, you know, going after the press and saying, you don't understand, and also kind of trying to defend himself. I mean, the thing about Grinnell is that he really, he was a PR flack at the UN for a while in the Bush administration. But really, he made his name as a Twitter troll, and I mean that literally. That was his thing. I mean, he was, and you can hear that in his voice,
He's a
snotty little twit.
He is.
And he was a Twitter troll who made his name kind of pushing a lot of the weird alt-right things. I mean, nothing was more outrageous than when Donald Trump named that guy, Twitter troll, to be ambassador to Germany, and then made him the acting, director of national intelligence.
Yes,
and
yes.
He was in, I mean, that guy, that Twitter troll that we just listened to, has had access to every top-level intelligence that the United States has. And now he's out there doing this Serbia-Kosovo thing where he's obviously putting on some performance here to try and pretend like they've had a breakthrough, and it's absurd because they haven't had a breakthrough,
right.
But whatever, and then uses it as a way to, create a distraction and kind of put on a little show for Trump, who, of course, would love that. And he really likes Grinnell, apparently, and you can see why, because he's a snotty little twit, and so is the president.
There you go. Wow. Unbelievable. So that happened, but the big kahuna here, as we're talking about the, deplorables within the Trump administration, is the attorney general. Every day, I'm just more and more astounded. So he does this interview with Wolf Blitzer on CNN yesterday. First of all, he won't say that voting twice is illegal. You heard this, right?
The ability to monitor this system is not good. And if it was so good, if you tried to vote a second time, you would be caught. If you voted in person,
that would be illegal if they did that. If somebody mailed in a ballot and then actually showed up to vote in person, that would be illegal.
I don't know what the law in the particular state says.
You can't vote twice.
Well, I don't know what the law in the particular state says and when that vote becomes final.
Is there any state that says you can vote twice?
Well, there's some, maybe that you can change your vote up to a particular time. I don't know what the law
is,
so I'm not going to offer.
He was saying test the system.
If you know what he's saying, why are you asking me what he's saying?
He doesn't believe in the mail-in voting. You're the Attorney General of the United States.
Why did you? Yeah.
What a condescending, rude prick.
Oh, that guy, he is a condescending, rude prick is perfect. That's exactly what he is. He is a very pompous, arrogant piece of work, and it was on full display on that interview with Wolf Blitzer.
Yep.
I wrote a piece about it for Salon this morning, what I discovered in really looking at that interview, there's a lot of discussion with Bill Barr. Is he just suffering from Fox News brain rot? Some guys spent way too much time watching it, or does he have a more devious kind of, agenda here where he's just sort of playing all the chess pieces to try and attain some kind of right-wing religious theocracy or the unitary executive or whatever? I conclude from that interview that it's Fox News brain rot.
Really?
That is what it is.
Wow.
William Barr does not know what he is talking about. This wasn't him just trying to cover or being a clever lawyer or, being all that. I mean, he is a clever lawyer to the extent that he, has spent his whole life doing this, and he's somebody who knows his way around Washington and has very, effectively and efficiently taken over the Department of Justice to be Donald Trump's Roy Cohn,
right,
and work on his behalf. But his belief system, his worldview is Fox News all the way. Everything he said in that interview, over and over again, whether it was from the Russia versus China being the ones to interfere in the election, to his views on race.
Oh my God.
And systemic racism, and the stuff he was saying about the difference between Jacob Blake in Kenosha and George Floyd in Minneapolis, and everything he was saying there was just dripping with racism, and yet I could tell by the way he was saying it that he is clueless that is racist.
Completely.
He is Fox News brainwashed, and this is normal in his world.
Wow.
And then, of course, there was this voting business where he actually got really angry at Wolf Blitzer for quizzing him on, you know, and Blitzer's asking these reasonable questions.
No.
Hey, a bunch of states have been doing mail-in voting for years. There's never been any problem. There's no evidence that there's anything, whatever.
And right. And there's not a single state in which you can vote twice, and he's the fucking attorney general. He should know that.
Of course you can't vote twice. There is no state that would allow that. It's ridiculous. And he refused to, you know, in any way, even slightly indicate that his boss, Donald Trump, dear leader, could possibly be doing something that is unethical at best and totally illegal at worst.
Right.
In fact, his encouraging people to do that in North Carolina,
yep.
He did break the law.
Yeah.
And, you know, so here we have this guy, the attorney general, this tremendous power, and he is, you know, he's helping Donald Trump gin up this ridiculous idea that there's this, I mean, He basically backed up Trump's insane claim that there are people flying around the country dressed in black
uniforms,
you know, Antifa thugs who are doing nefarious deeds. And he said, well, yeah, and we did get those reports. Well, you know, who cares? Somebody saw somebody dressed in black.
It was probably
out of
a
Seattle.
Softball team.
But, oh my God!
It was a softball team. They were in their black uniforms. Right. It is insane. But you know, the other thing that he said that I haven't seen much comment on was he said that Blake was in, when he was shot in the back seven times, Jordan Blake, that he was in the middle of committing a felony while armed. What? He's the attorney general. He should know. Number one, you don't comment on an ongoing investigation. And two, that's bullshit. What felony? And there was a knife that he told police was in the car.
Of course, not to mention the fact that he had his back turned to the cop at close range.
Right.
And by the way, that reckless police officer, there were three tiny children sitting
in
inches
the back
away
seat.
From Blake.
I know.
That could have easily been in the line of fire if everybody started opening fire. It's an outrageous
the whole thing.
Situation. And of course, we've seen that, you know, way too many times. And what Barr effectively did was he destroyed the credibility of the Department of Justice investigation into this.
You're right.
We can't believe anything. He's obviously come to a conclusion. And Blitzer pushed him on that. He was actually pretty good.
He did.
He goes, well,
I was
wait
surprised.
A minute. You know, that's different than the lawyers and the family and the witnesses. They say otherwise. And Barr says, well, that's what I believe. Well,
right.
You know,
that's not, but
who cares what you
it's
believe?
It's not your place to say that. And in fact, you are obstructing justice by doing
this
because you've assured this man can't get a fair trial. And regarding his racism, let me just play one of the clips because it's astounding.
Turn to Kenosha. You and the president were there yesterday. The city is clearly struggling in the aftermath of what happened to Jacob Blake, who was shot seven times in the back by a police officer. Neither you, nor the president had a chance to meet with him.
You know what? I'm sorry. That's the wrong clip. I thought I had one of Barr, you know, going off on race. I pulled up the wrong one, and I don't want to waste our time. But he is clearly has no clue. He's like, well, yeah, you know, sometimes blacks are treated differently, but that doesn't mean it's racism.
Well, that's what he said. He said, no, it's not racism. It's a stereotype. I'm going, that's racism, idiot. That
right.
is racism. What are you talking about? You know, it's a stereotype that black people are criminals, and that's what makes the cops do it. So that's completely different. And, you know, I mean, this is the level of understanding that Bill Barr has It's right up there. It's the same as Donald Trump's, and many of their followers, unfortunately. They really, really just cannot see this. They can't. They don't want to. They have these racist attitudes that they themselves hold. They're clinging to as hard as they can, and none of this is penetrating. It's very, very difficult. I mean, you know, maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm old. But, you know, these guys are older than me, and maybe they just can't really, their brains are ossified. But my feeling is, after watching that, I really concluded, without a doubt in my mind, that, you know, Bill Barr is not some savvy operator who's trying to do something deep for the conservative movement. I mean, he may end up just by accident accomplishing that. But what he really is just like Trump. It's that Fox News right-wing media feedback loop that he is living in, and he's running the Department of Justice on that basis. And it's absolutely terrifying.
It is frightening. And yes, I just see an email came through from Alternet. Fox News confirms shocking story on Trump's contempt for American troops after he argued it was fake. And sure enough, there you go. So I'm hoping this means the beginning of the end for Donald Trump. You know, it's karma's a bitch, and sometimes your words come back to haunt you, as they should right now. Heather Digby Parton, again, we never have enough time. When we do a half hour, it goes too fast. Next time, I'm going to get you on earlier in the hour.
Sure, whenever.
Okay.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, nor am I. Have a happy Labor Day at home.
Yes, enjoying it barricaded in my little cottage.
You and
that's
me both.
That's fine. It'd be worse. I'm not complaining.
Exactly. All right, Digby. Thank you so much. Find Digby on Twitter at Digby56 and read Hullabaloo and Salon.com. Thanks, Digby.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Always. And you, I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye. Or it'll be a best of Monday, but it'll be a good one. So see you Tuesday.